was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their backs confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls the string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings as the night falls in. On a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Welcome, my friends. Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer sitting in for Tom. Remember Tom? Tom's sitting in jail right now. Tom needs your help. I'd like everybody to call the U.S. Attorney General. We got a new guy in there. Happy days are here again. All right, so the new republic's here, and we're going to have a constitutional government that respects the freedom and the rights of the people. Well, let's see if that's actually true or not. So the new attorney general's in. He's the one that can drop the case against Tom today, or first thing tomorrow. It's getting a little late. Wouldn't want him to come in and free an abductee, a kidnapped victim who's kidnapped by the corporate government. Not in any hurry to do that. But we are. So let's tell them we're in a hurry to see Tom go free. And I want everybody to call the U.S. Attorney General's office at 202-514-2000. That's 202-514-2000. We need to do a phone blitz on Washington, D.C., and here's what you do when you call, because they got all kinds of little games and things they do to try to avoid the phone calls and avoid talking with anybody. Can you send us a fax? Send us an email. Sorry, we can't do that. No, nobody's here. What you have to do is ask for the director of scheduling and schedule. Leave your name and your number and a brief comment. They're going to want you to follow up with an email, so they have the request in writing, which is fine. Send them an email. They'll give it to you when you call. And you're going to get the director of scheduling to schedule you a call back from one of the legislative assistants or legislative aides to the new Jeff Sessions. Let's see if we really got something good going here, if we're going to have more of the same. Because I'm waiting to see at the grassroots level where the rubber meets the road, whether we're really under a new administration or whether we're still under the same old administration with a new face. Once again, 202-514-2000. Do you care about Tom? Where's Tom? I wish Tom was back. Where's Tom? Missing Tom? Okay, make your voice heard. 202-514-2000. Ask for the director of scheduling and ask for a callback. Tell him you only want to take five minutes or so, and you want to explain your concerns in this case, and you require them to let Tom go. And if they get enough public pressure, they will cave in. People have been trained to believe that their voice does not matter. Your voice does matter, and it does make a difference, or they wouldn't be trying to hide behind emails and faxes and all this other stuff. Get a call back from the director of scheduling. Have someone call you back and speak to someone directly. This is our republic. This isn't their republic that they run, and then we have to do whatever they say. I think there are many people in both sides of the political spectrum who seem to think we're still in this military thing, and this is what drives me nuts. The military is for the military. It's for war. For national defense, preferably not international conquest. But domestically, we're not supposed to be living under military rule. And according to our friend Keith, who will be with us in a minute, H.R. 193 pulls us out of admiralty and back under common law. I have not read the text yet of H.R. 193, so if anybody wants to come in and call in and contribute your knowledge, the number is 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. We had a nice roundtable last night with Keith and Chris in Las Vegas. Chris, if you feel like calling in, I'd love to pick up where we left off. Chris is a great bevy of knowledge and is a great asset to this little roundtable we have here tonight, starting out with myself and Mr. Keith Jones in Kansas. Keith is the connoisseur of the self-governing county and brought us a fantastic bevy of information last night that you won't hear anywhere else, and about real solutions, bottom-up, ground-up, grassroots, true solutions that will really work. And so I want to welcome Keith. Keith, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
How are you tonight? Give us your take on recent events and anything you heard in the news lately that you'd like to comment on.
Well, the only thing I'm waiting for right now of major information is see how the meeting went today with Trump and Netanyahu. Now, we have to understand that about a month and a half ago, the Security Council went to all 209 countries and signed a real estate act in order to drop all the fighting and war and all the other stuff.
Right.
Part of that was because part of that came because of the to make them all sovereign. Okay, but now Netanyahu is part of mafia cabal, and so he's been keeping that whole deal with Syria and the Middle East and Israel and the Palestine, keep that pot stirred up. So, but there was word that he has finally surrendered and decided that it's best just to do what he needs to do. The other piece of the puzzle with that is they're waiting for is a vote to come in very soon, I think it's this month or next, for Germany for their election for their new chancellor. And right now they took the vote, Adolf Hitler's granddaughter would not make it. So at this point, we're all kind of believing at that point she'll just kind of walk away and disappear, which would be good.
Yeah,
so we're rooting out the people, the bad boys at the high levels now. And now we need to sit down, and the bottom line, and Eric touched on this, is we need now to start thinking of how we can do ourselves from the ground up and start rooting out the bottom and work the rest. In other words, put the squeeze between them and meet in the middle. And the only way to do that is easily, officially, with numbers, is to start a self-governing counties and get a self-governing state and start in from there.
Excellent. That is so true. Benjamin Netanyahu is part of the mafia cabal that you said?
Yes.
Yep. Well, why does that not surprise me? Once again, we have Zionist command and control freaks, no different from any other totalitarian state, hiding behind Jewish names and hiding behind the Jewish, quote-unquote, Jewish state. So whenever anybody says bad banker, bad Zionist, they say, oh, you must be anti-Semitic. Uh-uh. Nobody's it's not the Jews. It's bad Zionists and power and control brokers, financiers, hiding behind Jewish names. When somebody says bad Rothschild, oh, you must hate the Jews. No, we hate the bankers. Whatever they're worshiping doesn't seem to be working really well for us, but that's not the fault of what they're worshiping necessarily. It comes down to the individual choice. We all have a choice. Choose good or choose evil. And the camps are really being well-defined right now. Go ahead.
What they need to do is go read the Lost 13th Amendment with the lawyers and the bankers, and you'll understand where the bankers and what really needs to happen with the bankers, period. It makes it very clear. Lincoln made it very, very clear in there. And just a piece of that part of that puzzle also is when Trump first walked in his office, he put up a picture of Andrew Jackson. And Andrew Jackson, he said he did everything in his power to destroy the banking system because he knew it was not correct to begin with. So, I mean, we've had many people, and this is the, what now, Trump is the third person along, and also now we have a person that's going to has been blowing the whistle all day for the vaccines that we take, because all the heavy minerals and the or mercury and all the other stuff, because of Mr. Agenda 21, who is Bill Gates, and they want to get rid of 80% of the population. And that would have to be Robert Kennedy's Jr.'s son. Now, if you remember right, Robert was killed June 1st of 1968, as his brother was killed just about 5 years previously before that. So this family has really went through a lot of torture because they've been willing to step out of the box and do what's right. And I'm waiting to see now what's going to happen, because even John Jr. was killed because of the race between him and Hillary Clinton when he was running for senator for his stay in New York. So there's a lot there that family went through, and I'm waiting to see what's going to happen now with that part, too. So go ahead, Eric.
Well, that's a great great analysis there. You're exactly right. Kennedys have suffered many losses. They've been in competition with many other globalists. Don't forget, the Kennedys family was quite powerful. Joe Kennedy was the youngest bank president ever at that time. He was the head of the Security and Exchange Commission during the stock market crash. He was the head of the Rebuilding Commission. He was the ambassador to England during World War II and had intimate contact with Chamberlain and through the grapevine Hitler and all kinds. I mean, this family, it goes back way deep. And apparently John F. Kennedy saw what was going on. His famous secret society speech, which we played here once before. And if we have some time tonight, Mike, on the board, Mike, maybe you can have that Kennedy secret society speech handy, and we'll give a few minutes of that later tonight sometime if we have some time to fill in. But as if there's not enough to talk about, we do like to get into more history and education here, though, rather than events and news reports, et cetera. We want to bring ideas. An old friend of mine said once, he said, Eric, 99% of the people spend 99% of the time, and he meant people in general. I know the Patriot and the Awake movement knocks this 99% figure down way, but he said most of the people, most of the time, spend most of their time talking about either what they're doing or what somebody else is doing. They very rarely does anybody ever come up with an idea. And this is why we encourage people to have ideas, contribute, and as well as information that you can't get anywhere else. So we call in at 800-313-9443. We're with Keith in Kansas. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer sitting in for Tom. Once again, I want to reiterate the number. We need to call Jeff Sessions' office. Jeff Sessions is in now. Happy days are here again, right? Okay, let's find out. When the doors to the jail in Eugene, Oregon swing open and Tom LaCavara walks out a free man, which he should, he didn't do anything to anybody, then we'll know that happy days are here again. And we have a new administration, and there's a new dawn for the new republic, or the old republic resurrected or restored, or however you want to put it. Give us back Tom LaCavara. You've kidnapped him. Let him out now. There's no victim to the allegation, and society cannot be a victim. It's a fictitious entity. And there's no possession. Nothing was ever in his hand. He's not even being charged with actual possession. They have this bizarre thing called constructive possession, in which the lying prostitutes, members of the bar, claim that proximity is possession. Well, not according to my dictionary. My dictionary says possession, actual holding or occupancy. That means you have to be actually holding it, hello. Not nearby in the next room, up the road, in your car, down the street, walking by it in the store while it's on the shelf. I mean, you can stretch that to anything. This is why I never give the enemy the language. Why do we have an attorney general? Think about it. Why is he not called Secretary of Justice? Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, Secretary of Education, everybody's a secretary, except the one thing that matters the most. Where's the really real power? In the witch's court. That's why we don't have a Secretary of Justice or a Secretary of Law. We have an attorney, which is a member of a private club called the Bar, general, like the Vicar Generals, and we're not supposed to have generals in our domestic government, remember? how far have we gone that will want, that will accept that we have an attorney lying, fabricating, communist, pimping attorney, and that's what they all are. All of them go along with the system that says society is a victim. They've all bought into the lie because it's very profitable for them to believe the lie. And who's the father of the lies? We know who that is. And then, in the same vein, walk into the court and accept the fact we have somebody dressed up in a black robe, which only Luciferians and Satanists wear. You don't go to discos and see people in black robes usually, or out to the restaurant or to the football game. The only place you go and see them is in the court or in the satanic worship masses, the black masses they're called. And how far have we gone? That we walk in, we accept, and it says, "In God we trust," right behind their head on the wall. You want to talk about a slap in the face to God? That's just off the charts. So, why do we have an attorney general? Why can't we call him the Secretary of Law or the Secretary of Justice? Very telling. It has to be an attorney, and he has to be called a general. That's not what a free republic is all about. First thing I'd like to see is the name of the office changed from the Attorney General's office, as if he's a vicar, which he really is very close to. As a member of the Lions Club, Jeff Sessions is intimately related to the Freemasons, the Lions Club International. That's what the sign says that they put up. I didn't make that up and add the international thing so everybody could get conspiratorial and gain listeners. No, it says when you drive into the next town, right, the one I'm living in, Lions Club International. The hell is he doing having any loyalty to an international organization and then claiming he's going to be a just and constitutional attorney general? Tom's still in jail. I'm going to keep ragging about this until he gets out. I don't see happy days. Tom ain't experiencing any benefit in this new administration. He's still languishing in the same prison. Those doors should have flung open on day one. There should have been an executive order. All patriots incarcerated for nonviolent allegations will walk free now. We can crunch their cases out later and see if they're a threat to society. We know that Clive and Bundy's no threat to society. Remember, he's our best friend for freedom. Epic standoff, and we won. He got his cattle back. Now they kidnapped him, and they're holding him for ransom in the witch's jail. I know Pete Santilli's not a threat to anybody. His language gets a little racy. Who cares? So does mine. That's part of life. I'm sure he's a tough, decent guy. I mean, he's not going to get pushed around, but he's not out beating people up and stealing their stuff like the government is. I know Tom McAvara's no threat to anybody. He was basically helping people on a horse farm in Florida where he got stiffed and put out to pasture himself to trying to do good work for people, and 2 hours a night on the radio show, plus all the prep time it takes to get interesting things to talk about and build, and then not be able to get to sleep for a couple hours after the show because you're wound up. He put a lot of time in all his life into bringing all of you listening right now the great information that he always did. He's not experiencing any benefits to this new administration. I'm sure he's sitting there going, wow, same old, same old. And I know what he's going to say when he gets out. I mean, you know, where's the change? Or where's the restoration? Who is trying to resurrect the republic in this new administration? Jeff Sessions wants to go down to be looked at as a friendly to freedom type of guy. And I've heard him speak on the Senate floor. And he plays a really good game. He talks kind of the constitutional thing, and he disagrees with some of the liberal agenda. But then he comes out with this bizarre totalitarian crap and this complete lie that society is a victim and the total gutless cowardness that he won't what? What's the problem? Why can't he pick up a phone and let this guy out? He's got a huge following. He's obviously no threat to society. People want him out. Let him out. Nobody's signing any affidavit that says Tom did them any harm. How can they hold him? It's bizarre. What, he didn't obey statutes made up by a militarized government? Well, too bad. He shouldn't. People should not obey. No compliance, no enforcement. That's where freedom begins and ends, right there. It doesn't matter what order givers put out kind of toilet paper and what executioners execute it. No compliance, no enforcement is the only way to make it. The people don't comply, and the police will not enforce. And then it doesn't matter what they can write up all the orders they want to. And the witch's court can issue all these rulings that it wants to, and everybody just put your finger in the air and say, go screw. We're not going to entertain any of this totalitarianism in this republic. So this is why the fix is bottom up again. We all have to take back our freedom. And while my dogs bark a little bit here and I try to quiet them down, I'm going to turn it back over to you, Keith.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to pick up on the idea that, you know, we've got to understand that all this has been going on for way longer and more than most people are aware of and know about. If you go back and study, you'll find out that we were put in a martial law back in 1863. If you study martial law, it says that no law can be changed, added, amended, not even supposed to have elections. It was never rescinded, it was never lifted. And we can see how much that good, that time around, did to martial law. With that said, we've got to sit down and start realizing these laws that they're using against us and take and turn right back around and use them against them. We have the power. We have the knowledge. All we have to do is start using it. I mean, it's all there if we just take a little bit of time out and say, oh, okay, now I know, you know. A good example, let's make it simple and easy. Officer comes up and asks you for your ID. You're not required. There's nothing that says you have to give them, show them who you are. They're going to sit down and lie and do all the other crap that they can and sit down and say, you've got to know. The only time I have to show you my ID is if I'm being detained or you think I had something to do with an act of crime. That's it.
A reasonable suspicion of a criminal act. I've been through it before.
Right,
the guy came up to me in court and he said, can I see your ID? And I said, absolutely not. And he went right on to the next guy and trying to see if he could bully and push around the next person.
Now, however, you can turn right back around and have to say, excuse me, but I'd like to see your ID. And if they sit down and say, sorry, no, you're a public official. By law, you have to show me. And if you want to be a real snotty, I like to also have a copy of your oath of office and your oath of your bond. Until you want to do that,
boy.
I'm walk away. I'm free to go.
Yeah.
You cannot detain me.
One of the research projects today led me to discover, and this came from two conversations, one yesterday with the legal counsel for the New York State Police and the other one from the legal counsel to the New York Comptroller's Office, because I was told by the legal counsel to the state police that, quote, if there were any bond, it would be found and filed at the Comptroller's Office. The attorney for the Comptroller's Office told me that it's been 20 years since they found any bond there. Basically, long and short of the matter. And the long and short is not one single New York State trooper is bonded, as required by New York State Public Officers Law, Section 11 and Section 30. Section 11 sets the requirement for the bond to be filed after they're sworn into office, and Section 30.1, subsection H, I just read it again yesterday, creates the vacancy of the office. So there's teeth in this. It doesn't just say, please go get a bond. It says, if you do not, your position is vacant. Unless you're serving in the military and you were not able to get to file that bond, and then there's an exception made for active duty service members overseas.
Right.
And rightfully so. Okay. That would be a legitimate exemption. But not the rest of them. Now, one of them has a bond.
Right there,
so the first thing, anybody... Yeah, just let me finish this out, this thought, Keith. So the first thing, if anybody has an encounter with the New York State Police, I recommend filing a paper requiring that the trooper, file it with the court clerk, requiring the trooper to prove that he's in compliance with New York Public Officers Law and show his bond, his or her bond, or the position's vacant, and they're operating as a private individual and can be sued in the Title 42, Section 1983. Yeah. Real simple, and keep it short. Don't go on and on and on in your documents, people, because the farther you go, it's just going to be loopholes for them and traps for us. Keep it brief. Keith?
Well, that's what I'm going to say. I mean, you sit down, right there's enough. You can simply, if they want to stop you, you just walk away and say, I'm sorry, you don't have the power to detain me. You're just as good as I am. You're just a civilian citizen. Now, you can do a citizen arrest on me, but the only way you can do that is if you know I was an active part of a crime. Walk away.
Right, exactly.
And by the way, if you want to pull your weapon, by the way, that's an automatic attempted murder, because I have no weapon. I've done nothing to agitate the situation. I've just told you what the truth is. Now, you can pull and do it, but it's still attempted murder. If you touch it, and you can kiss your gut life goodbye. In other words, that's automatic life in prison.
And let me add to this. This is not just for police. This is the public officer's law. It says all state employees and quote-unquote public officers. We recently had a judge have to recuse himself from a case because we challenged his oath and bond. We went to the county clerk's office. It turned out the oath and bond had expired for this judge in 2013, and it was now the end of 2016, last fall, and just wrote up a brief motion putting that in writing, handwritten. Didn't even type it up. I just whipped it up by hand, make it neat and legible. You can put a little formality at the top with the title and whatnot. I usually like two boxes at the top. The left one I put to and from, you know, so it's two. And I don't usually call them judge, whoever. I just put their names on there. In this case, it was James Ames. He was playing judge, like a little kid at Halloween. He thought he'd be judge without calling to file his oath and bond and complying with the state law. So we challenged him on that. He had to recuse himself. And it looks like they're not going to be able to go any farther with this matter because the gentleman who was up as the defendant had already complied with the permitting for the county. And the town was coming after him saying, no, that county permit's not enough. We have our own laws that supersede that. And so he was going to fight it out in court. Stupid code enforcement thing, you know. It's just living out in the country and having the code enforcement guy drive by and just look for stuff. It's like what the troopers do in Kansas. They drive by people's property. If they see you have a new tractor or a new boat or a camper or anything, any piece of equipment, anything at all, a lawnmower, they'll send you a bill and say, private property tax. Dear resident, we understand you have a new tractor worth that you paid $3,000 for, or they'll estimate the value and say you owe us $300. And this has happened to many people I know in Kansas. It's obscene. So people will get the level of slavery that they're willing to accept and no more. So if you're willing to accept none, we highly recommend you consider getting involved in the self-governing county movement. Keith, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, if what you're saying and what we're discussing is true, do you know and realize how easy it would be for us to put together a self-governing county? They can't stop us because all the public officials are now void. That's always been the hassle or the problem of putting together a self-governing county because of the fight that we have to have between the citizens and the public officials. But there's nothing there. There's no fight. I'm sure they're going to try to fight us, but if we bring in their law again, and we have enough people to back everyone up, if you start gathering the people in the county, what's going to happen? They're going to buckle.
Yes, sir. Well, we got a break coming up. Stay with us. This is Eric, the Freedom Screamer. We'll be back on the other side of this half hour. Stay with Resurrect the Republic on the RBN Network.
Welcome to the place of the left's hypocrisy. Little pink houses for you and me. Welcome to the face.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Welcome back, muchachos. Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for staying with us on Resurrect the Republic. I hope you value the information here tonight. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer sitting in for Lori and Tom. Lori asked me to fill in for the week, and we all know where Tom is. So I hope I can bring you valuable information. In the meantime, we bring you a combination of information and activism. And if that entertains you, great. You're a true patriot. And if you need to have, you know, football games or whatever, I apologize, but we can't supply all the feel-good stuff here. But we give you truth. We give you accuracy as best we can. If we're wrong on something or we miss a detail, please call in and correct us. We're not above correction if we're off on something, but I do my research pretty well. I didn't come out in public saying the New York troopers have no bond until I spoke with the legal counsel for the New York State Police and the legal counsel for the New York State Comptroller's Department, as well as several senior barracks commanders around the state, including Batavia and Olean and a couple other places. They were all very polite and friendly and had never heard anything about no bond. And I said, well, it's actually in the New York state law. You know that state law that you enforce every day upon us? I didn't say that. I was really nice. I just said, well, this, yep, it's public officer's law. And one guy wanted to know what section it was. Kudos to him. He actually wanted to, you know, to look into it himself. And I'm sure he found out, uh-oh, the New York State Police command structure and the legal department, members of the bar, are telling them, don't worry about it. It's okay. Just don't sweat it. We'll cover you. You're exempt from the law, even though there's no exemption.
They're just not complying with the law. And it's fascinating that they can be out enforcing it every day. And I mean absurdly minor, ridiculously, you know, nothing laws, or they're not even laws, they're statutes, we all know that. But then to not be in compliance with the same state statutes is the height of hypocrisy. And how they can have the moral high ground and be enforcing contract law upon people while simultaneously just flagrantly disobeying the state law that requires them to be bonded is absurd. And we shouldn't put up with it. And people have any encounter with the New York State Police, it ought to be the first thing. May I see your timely filed oath and bond, please? If not, can you get a supervisor here? It's going to be a long couple of months in and out of court. Just run with, you know, just you got to. Everybody has to stand up for their freedom. It's not, freedom isn't free. Sorry to use an old cliche, but this is how we fix it from the ground up, by information, solid information at the grassroots level. And I want people to remember to call on Tom's behalf to the U.S. Attorney General. We got a new guy in there. Happy days are here again. All right, really? All they are? Okay. Well, not for Tom. Tom's sitting in a jail cell. Apparently he's out in general population. I know mentally that's better for him. It's also riskier. You never know who they're going to pay to assault him. It's a possibility. God forbid anything happened to Tom in jail. They better watch out and take real good care of him, or it's going to get really bad for the people involved who allow anything to happen to him. So general population can be dangerous. And I encourage people to keep calling on Tom's behalf because he's in a dangerous situation. You know, people in prison have been poisoned by the guards and by the people in the prison system. A famous case, I believe, was Richard Kuklinski. He was not a nice guy, and they poisoned him in prison. Now, it doesn't matter if you're a nice guy or not, because what happens is if we poison the guys who were mafia hitmen, like Richard Kuklinski, and may have got what he had coming to him, it eventually metastasizes and flows down to us. That's why, the drug war looks really good. We're going to go after those druggy people. We can't have that weed, man. It's killing society, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? You're braiding the rope to hang yourself with. You're digging your own grave. Because, once again, the classic example is New York State. The New York State SWORT unit, that Special Operations and Response Team, it's their new name for the SWAT team. These are the guys who are kicking in doors, confiscating guns under the new New York Safe Act. They did it to someone named Shane Bennett. Famous case. Stuff about it should be up on courtroomwatch.org. Look under older posts. You'll read about the Shane Bennett case. He had a minor statutory in his past, just like Tom. He had 11, 12, 13 years later, he had guns in the house, just a farmer's gun collection. Not just like Tom, but he was nearby guns. In that respect, just like Tom. Possession of a felon, firearm by a convicted felon, same charge as Tom, except this time it wasn't a federal charge. New York State passed it. So now the state was coming after him saying, oh, these magazines that you have, he just had a box of just empty magazines because they were capable of more 10 or more rounds, they charged him with assault weapons. And they'll charge you with an assault weapon just for a magazine that's over 10 rounds. 20-round clip in New York is an assault weapon charge. If you have a semi-automatic and a detachable magazine, that's now classified as an assault rifle in New York State. Did you get that? Just all it has to be is semi-auto, so one bullet per pull of the trigger, and a magazine that pops out and you can put a new one in. Those two features alone qualify a firearm as an assault weapon in New York. And overnight, 2 million neoconservative, drug war-loving, you know, Republican lever pulling, I'm not saying the Democrats are any better, they're worse, but thinking that the Republicans, man, yeah, we're good conservatives, we're going to pull it for the drug war, now are created, because what happened was the SWORT unit came out of the drug war and is now kicking in doors such as Shane Bennett's for having quote-unquote assault weapons. And like I was just saying, 2 million New Yorkers overnight with the stroke of a pen in Albany became felons. All these Republican lever-pulling, conservative Rush Limbaugh-listening jackasses who think that the drug war is conservative. Yeah, we're going to have a good conservative society. Let's go after all those druggies. That's a highly communistic. You're a flaming pinko liberal if you think the drug war is going to make society better. War is not conservative. It's highly liberal and highly communistic. Okay, get it, everybody? So liberty-loving people are part of the militia. They're not part of some militarized police force that runs around forcing contract law on people. So anyway, all the people who thought the drug war was good are now creating the units, the SWAT units, came out of the narco squad, out of the drug war, and now they're kicking in doors like Shane Bennett's to take the guns. To take the guns. The drug war was set up to take the guns. It wasn't set up and to make the CIA and drug dealers a bunch of money, yes, and the prison industry and the witch's court. There's a lot of beneficiaries of the drug war. The main long-term insidious, the most pervasive one is what you're seeing right now in the case of Thomas Lacovara. He had a minor statutory in his past. I don't know if it was drug-related in Tom's case, but in many cases it is. In Shane Bennett's case, it was. He had a small quantity of drugs. He did 6 months. It classified as a felony. It was when he was like 20, 19 years old, right at the end of his teenage years, just before he became a man, went off, turned his life around, working up. Everything was cool. 11 years later, they kick in his door because someone had said there was guns in his house. And Nightmare, and he's doing like 2 or 3 years in prison now. We did the best we could to get. He actually had one victory was the fact that he did end up, the sentencing was less time than they were offering him at the plea. And that very rarely happens. Usually they're going to give you, if you take it to trial and reject the plea bargain, they're going to stick it to you at sentencing. And all the time they do it. They gave him actually less time than he would if he took the plea. And that's only because of public activism. I know it's not much consolation to him as he's sitting in jail, just as Tom is sitting in jail. So let's not forget about Tom. Call Jeff Sessions' office at 202-514-2000. 202-514-2000. That's 202-514-2000. I appreciate all you people calling, and I appreciate all you people, you know, realizing that we got to repeat this. And I know I got to repeat myself on a lot of this stuff because these are unique circumstances. This radio show is not in the same situation it was 6 months ago. This is emergency. Tom's been kidnapped. He's been kidnapped by the government. He's a patriot who's being persecuted along with Clive and Bundy and Pete Santilli and the whole Bundy family and everybody else. We've been through the list. And by the way, I think we're going to try to get John Lamb on, Mike, on the board. We got about 15 minutes till the top of the hour. Could you start putting the gears in motion to get a hold of John Lamb, and we'll get some on-the-ground updates on the trials in Oregon and Nevada. So we'll work on that at the top of the hour. Meanwhile, Keith, can I let you chime in for a bit?
Well, sure. I just was going to mention, bring up a couple of things. People sit down and say that one person, one voice can't make a difference. Well, I'm sorry, and this is one of the things I was going to ask Gary. You need to give out the number to people to try to call it, because we've got to have people realize that one voice can make a difference, okay? And two examples. Any number one, if you ever watched America's Most Wanted or The Hunted with John Walsh, and he's also, by the way, released 3 books, very good books. I've read all 3 of them. That was about his son that was killed in 81. And he didn't, there was no coordination between the Hollywood Police Department and anybody else. All he had to do is step over the line, and they didn't know the next Fort Lauderdale wouldn't know anything about it. So he sat down and started going to work. And he makes a joke about it. There's 51 kingdoms. You got to win 50 kingdoms before you win the 51st kingdom. Well, we know the 51st kingdom is, okay? And that's the same principle we've got to do here with the self-governing county. We start at the beginning, climb our way up. Second person that made a big stir by one voice was a person, a lady who lost her daughter's name was Amber. And this is where all the Amber's alert now, and also now they've turned into a silver alert for elderly people. But the point is, it's been one person both times, who's made major changes in this country. It only takes one person and get something going, and then from there. And this is why we keep going back to the South Carolina County, because we can sit down by law. It's already been done. It's already been proven that it's legal and lawful. We had self-governing here up to the year 2000 on the East Coast. We have one in Australia as we speak. Okay, so we have examples. It's not something we thought about. Okay, but we have to have people come together and sit down and do it and put it together, as they did both John and Amber's mother. She went to legislation, and they put the law together and did the same thing. We got to get together. We got to get the Committee of the Correspondence Bill, put the charter together, and have some people sit down and say, okay, what can we do now, and how can we make this county what it should be? It's the same thing.
You principle. Know what? Was that the county on the East Coast or town, was that in Maine, was it, or New Hampshire?
There was one actually in Massachusetts, and there was one in Maine.
Maine and Massachusetts. Excellent. Okay, listen, we got John Lamb on the line. We want to go to John. John is courtroom observer extraordinaire and reporter on the scene for both the trials in Oregon and Nevada. He must be like a bouncing ball going back and forth, but we get great information from him. John, are you with us, and welcome?
I am. Thank you for having me on tonight.
Take it away.
Okay, yeah, so I'm over here in Portland, Oregon. Got here a couple days ago to start off the jury selection, and we've been in jury selection for just right at 2 days, and today at noon we ended it, and we have sitting jurors now. We have 12 jurors and 4 alternative ones. It went really well. We feel like the defense team is very energetic about it and excited to get on with this trial, and we feel very, very pleased with the jurors that we have on. So because we picked the jurors so quick and we went through that phase of it, we don't have any more court here in Portland until this coming Tuesday. So she gave everybody off the next few days, the judge that's sitting there, Judge Brown. But okay. We got some great jurors. I guess they sent out about 1,000 letters to potential jurors, and we went through about 200 people to get these 16 people. So Tuesday I'll know more about exactly how many men and how many women. It went so quick today that we've got their numbers of what jurors they are, but we haven't kind of sized it down which one were men and which one were women, but we're really pleased with who we got.
Oh, good. A whole 200, huh? That's quite a large jury pool.
It was. It was a large amount to go through, and we got rid of a lot of them at the very first, and today went really awesome. It's just the jurors were answering the questions really great. It was going smoothly, and by noon we had the sitting jurors that we was pleased with.
Good, that's great. Okay. Yep, keep going.
Oh, so in other news here today, we had another hearing also in the same courthouse, which is Marcus Mumford. He's Ammon Bundy's attorney that fought for Ammon Bundy in the first trial back in October where we got the not guilty. And right afterwards, we all know that Marcus Mumford ended up getting tased and arrested for standing up for his client. Well, today he had a hearing in the same courthouse pertaining to his trial that's coming up in April. And some of the interesting facts of it that he's trying to get going, he's demanding a jury trial. The prosecutors charged him with 3 federal misdemeanor charges. So they're not felony charges, but they're federal misdemeanor charges. And they're saying that you no longer have a right to a jury on misdemeanor charges is what they're trying to say these last few cases. So he's demanding to get a jury trial. He's also filed motions to subpoena Judge Brown, the sitting judge in the first trial and in that second trial here that's going on, because she was a witness and she had pretty much the whole courtroom. She could see it, and she was the one that gave the orders for the marshals to stand down before they tased Mumford. And so the government doesn't want this judge, Brown, to testify in this in Mumford's trial. So they're trying to stop that, but Mumford's pretty adamant that he needs her to be a witness. She was there. So we're excited to see what happens with this motion. We're hoping Monday that all these things get granted, that he gets a jury trial and also gets Judge Brown in there on the witness stand. So,
right,
that's kind of the update. What's that?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm glad you're following that case because that was egregious. I mean, he's a courtroom lawyer. He's licensed to practice law in that courtroom.
Exactly. He's an awesome attorney. He stands up for the rights of the people and his clients, which he proved that 100% when he got tased there. So it's
I remember that.
Pretty awesome.
I do.
Lawyer.
I remember that case. And I'm glad I'm glad you're following that because I do remember when that happened. That really jumped out at me. That was a bad one, and that's going on all over the country, people. Yep.
He had a lot of support today. We kind of struggled between us whether which court hearing we was going to be in today because it's both at the same time. So we kind of divided up and we packed out both courtrooms and gave both
excellent
support today. So it was a good day. Back over to Nevada, I've been talking to them. I was over there for a couple of weeks to get the trial started up over there. And so I make phone calls two or three times a day just checking in with them and seeing how the trial is going. They're into day six in the trial over there. And they had multiple witnesses brought up the last 3 days. And several of these witnesses have been caught misrepresenting, even lying on the stand. These are witnesses that the government has brought in. And some of them did written reports. Some of them didn't do written reports as of 2 years ago. And one gentleman that was brought up on the stand for the government today, he had done written reports back there in 2014. And since then, now, on the stand, he's added to that written report of things that he remembered 2 years later. And back then, he couldn't remember. What's that?
Yeah, I don't know about that one, huh?
No, they called him out. The defense team called him out today on that. And so there's several of these witnesses that we're working on having impeached because of these things that they're lying about, and they're taking too long answering questions. So these are government employees. These are not just civilians. These are BLM agents. These are FBI agents, Fish and Wildlife, people that were involved over there into this. Some of them are FBI informants. So these are not just civilians. These are actually taxpayers are paying these people's wages. And they're getting up on the stand, and they're misrepresenting, they're lying, and they can't even remember their own statements, or they're adding to the written statements. And this is getting brought out in court. So today, their defense team there were just overjoyed what was going on, and they're working on getting a few of these witnesses impeached because of the lies.
Yeah, and does it seem like the jury can't help but notice the same thing that we're noticing?
They are noticing it. We've noticed that the jury over there, and I've had multiple people tell me this, the jury, they're right on the edge of their seat. They're really intense when the defense team gets up there and starts questioning these witnesses and asking them questions about things they've testified about. So we've got a good jurors over there, ones that are very attentive, watching their... The jurors, they see that, and we're seeing that here in Oregon and Nevada both. These questions were asked, and these jurors, they know this overreaching federal government has gone too far. And so that's exciting to us to see that jurors are paying attention.
Excellent. That is good news because, you know, my first instinct is to compare that with what I saw in the Shane Bennett case, which was not only was the jury pool completely stacked, with people who are into the system and nobody that was in any way independent-minded or in any way like a farmer, a hunter, an independent business owner, or anything like that. You could tell what they were doing. But when they were in the complete opposite of what you described, these people were sitting back, kind of lazy-looking. You could tell they were just kind of filling space and just wanted to get out of there. and didn't really care that they were going to destroy someone's life by obeying the criminal judge, Judge Craig Duran, who literally threatened the jury, came off the bench and out into the gallery during jury selections, threatening people. I know you all got leafleted this morning. Anyone who got a leaflet, raise your hand. Anyone who can't promise me right now that you're going to interpret the law only as I give it to you, raise your hand right now. I mean, he had them shaking in their boots, threatening people. I mean, complete jury tampering. It's a felony. It's a violation of due process and a gazillion other things. It was just absolutely disgusting. Yeah, and so anyway, you know, it's well, they don't like that jury nullification flyer, I'll tell you that. But anyway, the jury in Shane's case was a real bunch of sadsters who were just had these dead looks on their faces, and you could tell they didn't care whether they destroyed someone's life, if the state needed to have a burden of proof. Nobody even challenged the trooper's oath and bond. The attorney was completely ineffective counsel, and, you know, if there was any justice, he'd be disbarred. And, you know, but anyway, so, but it sounds good. It sounds like people, when the jurors are really attentive, that means they at least, it at least appears that they're concerned that someone's life is in their hands and they can destroy a life with a verdict that's they ought to do what their conscience dictates to be best based on raw common sense and more. And that's why they call it common law, is because if there's no victim, there should be no crime. And the state hasn't produced one victim. Has there been one person on the stand yet that has actually made a claim that anyone's done them any harm personally?
Not at all. That's the thing. Yeah. Every single witness, we had 46 witnesses in the first trial in Portland, and 45 of those witnesses were government employees. There was only one witness that the government brought up against the first defendants there that was actually a civilian. That's what's so absurd about this. We don't have any victims. How can you have a state or a government charge somebody with a crime and there's no victim except the ones that are charging you, the state itself? And so that's how absurd these trials are. It's just totally wrong.
Yeah, well, the listeners have heard me, the regular listeners of this show have heard me bitching about all along about how, and I also got this from a retired state parole officer. He said that he got sick of it. The New York State Police or other arresting officer writing in the line where there's a says victim, and then you're supposed to write in the name of the victim, they'd write in the word society. And he's like, it's just a lie. It's what we call, John, it's what we call a fictitious entity. The claim that society or the state can be a victim is a fraud, because society is a fictitious entity. It's like an estate. There's no actual living man or woman. It doesn't live. It doesn't breathe. And for anyone to claim that society can be a victim, which is what they're doing in all these cases, it cannot be. It's a fictitious entity. Therefore, fictitious means false. Therefore, it's a fraud upon the court. And I would suggest that you give a little hang with us till the rest of the show, or at least into the next hour, John, because we're coming up against a break. So if we hit that real quick, I may have to go to break here in a second. But I would encourage the defendants who are representing themselves or the ones who have an attorney to encourage the question being asked to every witness on that stand: are you, sir or ma'am, claiming that I personally did you any harm? And that's really cuts through
good
to the
question.
Jury. They're going to have to say no. And they're going to say, so who are you claiming is the victim to my crime? They're going to say society or the state or the federal government, and say that is a fictitious entity. That means false, and it is a fraud upon the court. And then there's probably the state will get up and object right there. So we'll be more with it back at the other side of the hour. Be in a minute or two, folks. Hang with us. This is Eric, the Freedom Screamer, John Lamb, Keith in Kansas, and all the rest of you Freedom Screamers out there. Thanks for being with us on Resurrect the Republic on the RBN Network. Be right back.
Photo ops. This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.